Church, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's raining, but that's helping the weeds to grow. We've needed that. No snow to shovel, no wind to deal with. It's been good last couple of weeks to be seeing Shirley and Martha back here with us, and Ruth. And, of course, the senior Schmitz today, it's good. Nice to look out and see all these smiling faces. I thank the worship team and the sound team, and I also made some notes for myself about that. More often than not, I thank the worship team now, and I sometimes remember the sound team, but we have a number of other people that help to keep things going around here for us. And one would be Lynn as secretary, and there's more to that job than just making sure the bulletins are sitting on a chair there for us on Sunday morning. There's behind-the-scenes activity, and she has her fingers on the pulse of the church, and that's a good thing and a helpful thing. And we're grateful, certainly I am, and I think we are too, for that. Britta continues to do a lot of behind-the-scenes work financially, but she's a voice in the background as well. Nate with the worship team leadership and also the council leadership, the elders, the other folks on the council, Darwin taking care of trash and miscellaneous maintenance odds and ends, and Annie doing the cleaning so we come in and it looks nice for us on a Sunday morning. And I think we often don't think about these things and don't think about these folks. We just kind of figure that's the way it is and that's the way it's supposed to be and going to be, and we just kind of go our merry way. But it's nice for us to once in a while say thank you to folks for things that they do, and so I just thought that I would do that today. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, from Jeremiah 29:11, as you know from the bulletin. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And we're going to work with verses 11 through 14a this morning. Excuse me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then I love the first part of 14 to just bring it all together and clinch it. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now the context, we'll go back to the beginning of the chapter. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then it goes on and it talks more about that. And then with verse 4, that letter begins and says what the Lord's going to do, how folks are going to be taken care of, what's going to happen. And then we get down to the portion that I've already read this morning. And of course, this was for a few thousand years ago, as we know, but there are also, as we know, scriptures from the Old Testament, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that can be applicable to our lives today, individually and or corporately. And I would suggest to you and submit to you that these verses from Jeremiah 11 through 14a are appropriate and applicable for us, for the Alden Mennonite Church. Nate has requested and recommended, it's been a while now, and it's come up periodically since, but that I take us back and revisit the sermon from August 2nd when I was here candidating, and the prophetic message that was shared with the church. And so the first half, the bulk of the content will pertain to that. The second half will pertain to going forward. So first covering the past several months and then the next several months coming. On 8:2, if you recall, the key verse was Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, that's Isaiah speaking, "Here am I, send me." And that's nice in and of itself, but the very first part of that next verse also, as we just talked about, or I did, verse 14a, the first portion of 14 in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, the Lord then responded, he said, "Go and tell this people." And as I did this morning, I went back to the early part of the chapter and we talked about the context, the setting and the circumstances within which this activity was going on. And it came down to the Lord calling, anointing and appointing Isaiah as a prophet to the people. But that's also one of those words or portions of the word of scripture that can be applicable individually and or corporately in our time as well. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." That morning, Kevin introduced me and came up and mentioned the connection with Elam and my having seen a notice on the Elam website and how I sent an email up here and kind of went back and forth. And one thing led to another, dealing with different people, and now several months later, here we are together in the Lord's presence in this place. And that morning talked about that portion of Isaiah 6 and the hearing the voice of the Lord and the commission of Isaiah, and spoke about my name, Malachi in the Hebrew, and how the translation of that is my messenger or messenger of the Lord, and talked about salvation, my experience of salvation briefly at the chapel in Williamsville. How I had a Pauline experience, how the Lord at that time, among other things, gave me the heart of an evangelist. And going back to that scripture from Isaiah about hearing, and I spoke about that and how hearing is critical, hearing the voice of the Lord. Can we hear the voice of the Lord? Do we hear the voice of the Lord? If we hear the voice of the Lord, then what do we do about it, if anything? And what about the application of what it is that the Lord would be telling us, taking that principle or those principles and putting them into practice? And then the bulk of the time was spent about PRO. PRO gave you an acronym. P for prayer, R for revival, and O for outreach, referring really to evangelism. And talked about prayer at some length as we've continued to talk about prayer because of how important that is to this place, to the vision for this church, the mission of this church, and how we need to pursue in prayer, how we need to pursue the Lord, how we need to stick with it, how we need to persist, knowing that eventually we're going to prevail, as long as we're praying what the Lord's will would be, whether for us individually or collectively as a congregation. And I mentioned James 5:16 as one of the first scriptures that I memorized once I had become a born-again Christian, a born-again believer. Which reminds me, tomorrow will be my 34th spiritual birthday. It was Palm Sunday in 1987, but the date was April 12th. And it's been a wild ride since then. Anyway, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer availeth much. Also talked about how certainly the church universal, but this church also in particular, as far as our reference and our foundation, has been called by God to be a house of prayer, and that we need to be receptive and responsive to that call. And I talked briefly about Paul Yonggi Cho, Korean pastor, and how he indicated that prayer and obedience were the keys to his success as a pastor, to the growth of the church, to the thousands and thousands and thousands of salvations that they had seen over the years. And he said that the secret is I pray and I obey. And that's important for us as well as Christians, whether members of this church or not, to be people who pray and people who obey in terms of walking out, in terms of working out our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In talking about revival, spoke about the need for it, including the fact that this church is in need of revival. And I said at the time, it wasn't being negative, wasn't being critical, simply a statement of fact reflecting the position and the place of the church at this point. Needing renewal, needing revival, needing regeneration, needing a newness of life, a refreshing, a kind of reformation, reformation of us, and spoke about the central role of 2 Chronicles 7:14 to revival, whether it's revival in this nation, whether it's revival in this church, and as it occurred in the church example that I gave you when I was conducting revival meetings up in the North Country in New York State, and how through that healing and restoration and reconciliation come forward. And that church, as well as this church, that church was at a pivotal point. This church continues to be a pivotal point in its life. In looking back at history, assessing where we are now, and taking a look down the road in relation to that vision that was cast that day, where the church is going and how it's going to get there. And a reminder, and I don't know how many times, but it's been a lot that I've spoken about, referred to, quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, and its importance, its significance, but again, that it's one of those if-then promises that we find oftentimes in Scripture, where the Lord says, if you do certain things, then these things will happen in response. And so the church, universal, and this church is called to those four points in 2 Chronicles 7:14, at which time then, once we have accomplished that, according to his word, the Lord will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our evil ways, being those four. And then the outreach, and our Lord saying that he was here to be about his Father's business, and that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that relates to the Great Commission, and we've talked about that from the pulpit as well, and how we find it in five places in Scripture, all four of the Gospels, as well as the book of Acts. That we are to go, it's an imperative statement, it's an order, it's a command, we have a choice because we have free will, but we don't really have a choice unless we're deciding that we want to disobey. We are to go and to share the gospel, to spread the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And Scripture talks about Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and unto the ends of the earth. And for us, of course, it would be Alden and the Western New York region and beyond. And so that's the part of the call upon this church. And I refer to a church that I had helped out for a couple of years in a supply pastor basis, and unfortunately, although they were able to do what needed to be done and what the Lord was calling them to do, they chose to resist and to refuse to do that. And there came a point where I warned them kindly, but clearly from the pulpit, that if they really didn't get with the Lord's program, they might as well write Ichabod over the door of the church that the Lord had left. And it was shortly after that, a few months, the Lord had told me that my time with the church was finished, that I had done what he had sent me there to do. And so we parted ways, and they continued in that resistance and reluctance and refusal, and a year and a half from the time that I left the church, they closed their doors. Ability is one thing, but willingness is another. Thinking about, praying about, talking about things, that's one thing or set of things, but then putting our feet into action. In a sense, in effect, putting our money where our mouth is. Are we doing that? Are we taking those steps? Or are we just thinking about, talking about, and maybe praying, but not really doing what we know we have been called to do? And that time, I referred to a couple of verses of scripture from Luke, the first one in Luke, and the second one that went with it in the book of Acts. And I said to you, Luke 29:49, and it's the one about the Lord speaking about giving them or sending to them the promise, with a capital P, of his Father, referring to the Holy Spirit. And it didn't sound quite right to me when I gave that verse to you, but no correction came, and so I kept going. And then it dawned on me later that it wasn't 29:49, it was 24:49. There's no 29th chapter in that book of the Bible. So anyway, it's verse 49 in chapter 24 of Luke, and then Acts 1:8 about receiving the power and when the Holy Spirit fell and people were baptized and received power to operate in the way they were to at that time. And also spoke briefly about the job of being a witness to testify, just like in court. I mean, a witness testifies to what he has seen, what he has heard, what he has felt, how he has felt, what he's experienced, and so on. And that's what we're to do, to talk with people, to tell people about our experience with Christ and let them know that what he's done for us, he can do for them as well. And then became even more prophetic at that time. And I said that I can see this church, this is almost word for word. What I did was this week, in anticipation of today and praying about it, thinking about it, preparing for it, I went back and I listened a couple of times to that sermon, and I made some notes. So notes I'm looking at are notes from this week, not notes from back in August. I can see this church packed with people, so there's not enough room for everyone. That there would be chairs needed in the back, like we have a few scattered, but all along the back. And along the aisles, and even in the front. And then the statement came forth, and it ties in with part of what Dave said this morning, when he referred to this church being or becoming a lighthouse to the community. I said that the Alden Mennonite Church is called to be the Alden Christian Church, and talked about the reason for that. And the reason is because this church is to be more than and bigger than a Mennonite grouping or a Methodist grouping or Presbyterian, but much larger within the Christian context. So the Alden Mennonite Church is called to be the Alden Christian Church, a lighthouse to the community, to the region, and beyond. And then I made the statement that I could see a lighthouse, wrong way, out here in front of the church, near the sign, that this church is to become and to be a safe harbor, a refuge from the storms and tempests of life, that people coming here were to be welcomed and embraced and helped and saved and healed and delivered. And so I just had the image in my mind flash of the Statue of Liberty, you know, where the statue was there with the idea of arms embracing those coming to the shores and to safety. Now, I refer to the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Independent Baptists, folks who get out and knock on doors. And I know some people got nervous about the door knocking, but we'll talk about that a little bit. And so, not really referring to doctrine of these groups, but the idea that they get out and they go to where the people are. Some of them have gotten a bad rap because of their aggressiveness, and I certainly understand that. But again, that's not the point, and we ought not to be distracted by that. The point is that the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that we are to go, so therefore we are to go. I referred to 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, where the folks, the disciples, went door to door on a daily basis, in ministry, in fellowship, in prayer, in connection with the people. And then spoke briefly about the church on the west side of Buffalo when I pastored there, and how it was English that I normally heard on the streets when I walked around when I first got there, and a little bit of Spanish. And by the time I left 5+ years later, it had flipped so that mostly I heard Spanish and a little bit of English. And so in the meantime, I had modified the services at that church to accommodate the change with language. And I commented about street preaching, which is a type of evangelism, and getting out on street corners with a little power pack, but then that baby had a lot of power, and you'd be on a street corner, you could hear a block and a half, and I know because I checked in every direction, the word going out in Spanish and in English about salvation in Jesus Christ. And we as a church also did go out and do some door knocking. What the Great Commission is not an invitation, it's not a request, it's not a suggestion, it's, gee, if you get a chance, well, if you wouldn't mind, well, you know, on a nice, bright, sunny day, I'd appreciate it if. It's a command, it's a directive, it's an expectation that the Lord states that we will go and do what's being spoken about this morning. So that pretty much summarizes August 2nd sermon that it was presented here that morning. And in the subsequent several months, we have thought about, talked about, prayed about these things, have certainly talked about the Alden Mennonite Church becoming the Alden Christian Church, about becoming a lighthouse to the community, the haven of rest, this kind of thing, the safe harbor. And emphasis on prayer, on revival, and on outreach. Most so far has been on prayer, but the others have been addressed as well. And we would continue to address these going down the road in the coming several months. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And this portion of Scripture was applicable and appropriate on August 2nd for these past several months as we've moved forward. Also applicable for these coming several months and beyond as we go forward from here. For I know the plans I have for you. Remember, this isn't just some guy standing in the pulpit saying or preaching these words, but this is God in His Word telling us individually and telling us collectively that He has plans for us, that He knows what those plans are. They've been laid out from before the beginning. And they are there for us. And when we follow the plans that are laid out, that He provides, that He gives us, shares with us, shows us, then it works to His honor and glory, but also to our good as well. I know the plans I have for you, not just says or mentions or comments, but declares the Lord. It's a powerful, powerful point that's being made by the Lord in Scripture. And what are those plans? Well, they're to prosper us. Some translations say not for evil, but for good. But to prosper us, not to harm us, hurt us, create problems for us in any way, but rather to give us hope. And we all need hope. To give us hope and a future. At that point, He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. call upon me and come and pray to me. And then it doesn't just end there, but he says, and I will listen to you. Now, this is us praying individually. This is us praying corporately. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. How? When you seek me with all of your heart. So not a half-hearted kind of thing, not an, oh, well, it's time to pray. Well, we have to say something. Well, let's get something out there to him. But when we come to him with all of our heart, that business of commitment that was spoken about recently from the pulpit. So it's fine for us to say that we are Christians, but Scripture tells us that Christians will be known by their actions. So are we just saying it, whatever it may be, at a particular time, or are we also doing it as well? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That commitment that has been talked about recently, that yieldedness, that submitting, that giving way to the Lord, that business not only of surrender, but unconditional surrender, wholehearted surrender, holding nothing back, but giving all to him. It's all his anyway, but giving all to him without hindering him or hampering him or getting in his way in any way. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a precious, powerful promise from the mouth of the living God. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Going forward, and this is a part of what Nate has requested and recommended. This is fine that we're talking about these things, but what does that really mean? What does it translate to? How will it play out? What does it involve? What are we going to do when? How are we going to go about it? And those kinds of questions. So, beginning in May, there are going to be some things that we are adding. Things that I'll say have been discussed with elders over a period of time. Have been spoken about, at least to some extent, how much really varies depending on which part is being referred to. But the elder meetings don't get put in the bulletin, but people should be aware that we have met consistently on a regular basis since I started here, minimally twice a month, and we had a stretch of time when we were meeting weekly. When we meet, it hasn't been just 45 minutes or an hour just kind of hanging out together and chit-chatting a little bit and maybe talking about prayer or a service or whatever. But these meetings, sometimes to our consternation, run two and a half hours. But it's serious time. It's thoughtful time. We're thinking, we're preparing, we're planning, we're praying. We're considering a lot of different possibilities, a lot of options. The vision has been cast. The vision was cast on August 2nd for this church. So the question is, okay, now, since then, what have we done? And from this point forward, what are we going to do about that? So starting next month, three things we're going to be picking up with. The first Sunday of every month in the evening, there will be prayer and praise. In May, that'll be the 2nd of May. We have five Sundays in May. So at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 6, we're anticipating having a meal, a fellowship meal together. We're not quite sure what form that's going to take yet. We need to work out the logistics of that in good part because of still COVID constraints and concerns. But to have that that time together, that meal, that fellowship, for an hour from 5 to 6 o'clock, and then from 6 to 7:30, have that prayer and praise time. 6 to 6:30, we're looking at, and it's not going to be exactly to the second with what I'm saying, but we're trying to provide some structure, but still maintain and retain flexibility within that. From 6 to 7:30 would be the prayer and praise time, and we're looking to the youth to be providing the leadership for that as far as the music. And being up here in the first song or two would be praise, but then we would shift to worship for the remainder of that half hour. Then there would be a teaching for 15 minutes or so on prayer, about prayer, and then the final 45 minutes would be the time that we would have to actively pray together as a congregation. And the thinking would be that prayer at those meetings would be directed outward, if you will, a kingdom mindset in terms of this church becoming the lighthouse that we've talked about, as far as accomplishing the mission for this church, as far as prayer and revival and outreach, praying for the elders, praying for the council, praying for other leadership, praying for the pastor, praying for missionaries, praying for success in terms of evangelism over an extended period of time, and so focusing outward. Now, during that time, I would expect that there'd be some quiet times where people would not be speaking out in prayer, and that's fine sometimes. Scripture tells us, be still and know that I am God, and sometimes we do really need to shut up and listen, and so that's okay. But there can also be periods of quiet worship music playing in the background as well. And so that we would be together in the presence of the Lord in that way. That will work for May and June. It won't work for July because we won't be here the first weekend in July because most of the folks will be at Beaver Camp. So whatever prayer and praise and worship is going to occur will be down there. We're not going to get into makeup days or doing them some other Sunday when for some reason or another we miss one of these special events. We just miss it and we move on. July, I just mentioned. August, we'd be fine here. September, we would miss. We would be here, or at least some of us, in September. But that's Labor Day weekend, the first Sunday. And so not going to have a special service, just the expectation would be the normal Sunday morning service. Then October, November, December, and beyond would be fine. The second thing, starting the following week, simply because we didn't want to start two things new or renew, as the case may be, on the same day, we will begin a program called Ask the Pastor. It will serve for a season, whatever that turns out to be, as Sunday school for the church. So we'll be getting Sunday school started again, but it'll be different form or format than what it's been in the past, at least for a while. And we will still have church starting at 9:30 and running to about 11. We will plan to start the Sunday school portion at 11:15. If for some reason the service runs especially long, then we will simply shorten the Sunday school time so that people can know and plan to be done at noon, whether it turns out to be a half hour or a 45-minute period. And it's Ask the Pastor in the sense that the focus will not be on a particular book of the Bible or a Christian book that people would be reading and then discussing, but rather it will be talking about, discussing, evaluating the sermon, the contents of the sermon from that particular day. And, you know, go back and forth with comments and with discussion with the idea of trying to bring folks deeper into the Word in that way than just can be done in a half hour or 45 minutes from the pulpit. And other sermons can be brought up as well for discussion. The primary thing would be sermon from that day. Sometimes there'll be a series, and so there'd be some that would be connected and so on. But that would be the plan as far as getting Sunday school started again, when and how we would do it, and then that would continue on a weekly basis. I expect that while I'm still here, I would be involved in that, but also that there would be a co-leader, if you will, including individual who would be here when I'm not here, or any pastor for whatever reason might be absent, Sunday school could still go forward. The third thing, and that would be the following Sunday, which would be the 16th, it will be Salvation Sunday. And we had a taste of that recently when I was encouraging people to ask folks to come, especially unsaved people, to bring them to service on Palm Sunday and on Easter. And Palm Sunday sort of got a little bit lost in there, but Easter was nice, and we did well with that. And so it's the same kind of thing, whether it's family members, you know, neighbor across the backyard fence, people or someone that we work with or go to school with, someone we may meet in transit. Bonnie and I have asked waitresses to church that we meet different places where we eat, talk about the Lord, and sometimes invite people to church that you meet in the course of other business, whether it's medical stuff, legal stuff, accounting, whatever. Anytime there's somebody else, there's potentially an opportunity there to talk about the Lord and about salvation. So that would start that day. And when the elders and I talked about that, I expressed that part of my thinking was that was going to be a Pentecost Sunday, and so that'd be a great time to do it. I realized to my chagrin this week that I miscalculated. The 16th is not Pentecost, the 23rd is Pentecost. But be that as it may, I will be here, as your bulletin tells you, on the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd, so that will include Pentecost. And all three of those sermons will be connected with particular reference, not exclusively, but primarily with Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, moving and working in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving and working in us, and so on. So certainly any Sunday, I would encourage you to ask other people. But the third Sunday, because we're specifically starting that, the third Sunday of each month going forward, but again on the 23rd, because of it being Pentecost. And so that it's an especially good day to have visitors and to deal with what it is that we're talking about. So those are three immediate things coming up. And we're talking also about advertising, promotional, outside of here, starting likely. I have to, again, work out the logistics of it, the mechanics of it. I think it should be okay. Putting inserts in the Albion Advertiser, that put the church, putting it out there. This is the Alden Christian Church. This is who we are. This is what we're doing. We have these services, we have these programs, you know, who's welcome, what's going on, what we're doing now, what we're anticipating doing down the road in the future, and you come and join us. We'd love to have you. And so that's in the offing. Now, beyond that, other things that, you know, if circumstances were different, if we had larger numbers to work with to begin with, some other things that we could be starting now. I mean, some of this, if it weren't for COVID, we could have started sooner. Some of it we might have started a bit sooner, except for numbers. But we're looking at Christian Film Fest. So once a month, anticipating now, always subject to change, but the fourth Friday of every month, having Christian film. Some folks here in the third row should be happy about that. Bob and Daisy have talked about having films here, and so we're going to be starting to do that. There'll be Christian films, open to the community, invite folks in. It's certainly not going to be any cost for it. You might be able to do a popcorn kind of thing, you know, some little thing. Again, the details to be worked out, but anticipating beginning this in the fall, allowing for some continued improvement with the COVID situation. So that would be a fourth Friday. A program called The Ambassadors, and it's about evangelism, and that would be partly a teaching thing, and a teaching would be once a month to help people to learn about evangelism, about different types or forms or styles, to do some practicing, to get some comfort with it, to not worry about it. And no, I am not pushing or advocating that every single person in this church building be out knocking on doors. I like door knocking. It is proven to be effective, but I'm not looking for everybody to do that. That's not everybody's cup of tea, and I understand that. But there are other ways that we can evangelize. We can be in a good location in town, outside the post office or the library or a bank or someplace that has a pretty good amount of foot traffic. And we can be there and it's simply handing out literature that relates to the church but that has a salvation message on it. We could also, at certain times, be someplace and be handing out Bibles or New Testaments to people who would care to take it. And any of these people, we could offer to talk with them about anything of their choosing, as far as God, as far as Christian, as far as church. We can extend the offer to pray for them if they would like. Also, a table with two or three chairs can be set up in a convenient trafficked location. It has a nice sign on it, prayer. And people have the opportunity to come and get prayer for whatever it might be on their mind or on their heart. And that's, so these are other ways in which we can evangelize. Excuse me. Second Friday right now in our thinking would be Kids Cafe, and cafe spelled with a K, to go with the kids. Kids Cafe, like Kids Club with Ks. And that would be the second Friday, and the youth group would be prominent in this as far as their role. And there would be music, and there'd be some other activities. Likely have to have some food as part of it, especially because we're talking about kids. But again, open to the community and drawing kids in. In turn, knowing that that's one way that we can attract adults, we can attract parents over a period of time as well, to come and check out, maybe not come to church for a service, but to come and check out a particular program that's going on. So, well, it's too bad. Yeah, well, you know, I liked so-and-so whenever I met him or her and talked with them. I think I'm gonna try. I'm gonna go to church and I'm gonna try it out. And we go from there. Fourth thing is Acts, A-C-T-S, all capitals for the book of Acts. It would be discipleship. It would be a Bible study. That would be a Bible study as far as, again, we're still walking out, working out our salvation, working in relation to the vision for the church and the mission and prayer, revival, outreach, these things that we've been talking about. So those are more immediately prayer and praise, starting on the first Sunday night in the month with a meal at 5 and then 6 to 7:30 for the prayer and praise part. Ask the pastor, Sunday school. After church, 11:15 usually starting. And so if we're done a little before 11 o'clock, the idea is to give people a window there for a break. You need the bathroom, you want to talk, you want to get a little fresh air. Stretch your legs a little bit before coming back in to sit down for the Bible, the Sunday school portion. And then the Salvation Sunday, the third Sunday of every month. And so those three things starting in May, and then the other four things that I've mentioned down the road, seeing the film, COVID-wise, if we're okay, and quite possibly the Kids Cafe, those two being able to start then. Ambassadors, hopefully, would start then, and Acts, if not then, then in the springtime. Also to be thinking about the entry area as a welcome center, and I understand there's been a time in the past where there have been refreshments there when people have come in. And we would look to start that up again so that 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, somebody comes in, or 5:10 after, they can have coffee or tea or maybe hot chocolate, donut maybe, I'm not sure about that, but it's something to welcome them, have some literature available for them about the church, those who are not from the church, and also to get back, again, partly COVID, in the fall with at least a once-a-month fellowship dinner or meal of some kind following the Sunday morning service. Well, it says lay out in some detail what's to come in the near future. That is, over the next several months. Name, Alden Christian Church. Slogan, a lighthouse to the community. Promo, the advertising. Vision and mission. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Lord God Almighty, maker and maintainer of the universe, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, we give you honor, we give you glory, we worship you, Lord. We pray that you would be blessed, honored, and glorified in all that we would think, say, and do. We thank you that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us to support, sustain, and strengthen us, to give us grace, to give us guidance, to give us mercy, goodness, kindness, love, each of these things, all of these things. We thank you for John 3:16 and all that means. We thank you for that again and again and again, and time and eternity don't seem to be long enough to adequately and appropriately and sufficiently thank you. Certainly for that, but also for the rest of it as well. We pray that as your word is going forth this morning, that it's fallen on receptive ears and hearts and minds, that we as a church would go forward according to your leading and your guiding and your directing. Pray that we would do what you've called us to do wisely and well in obedience to you, knowing that you always go before to prepare the way, and that's part of the knowing the plans that you have for us. And we know that they're for success, not for failure, and they're for good things, not for bad, and that this church will rise again to heights that it had known previously and even and more so beyond, because of what it is that you would choose to do in this church and with this church and through this church, this lighthouse that you've called to the community. We thank you for these things. We praise you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.